This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. Alexis just started recording while I was in the middle of a thought and just...
She knew it was happening, but she got too excited and kept having spontaneous utterances.
I know, we had to start at some point.
Yeah, because otherwise we could, honestly, the three of us could sit here and chat all fucking night. Billy's like, what playlist should I put on? I'm like, we have to work.
He's not, like, none. What playlist should I put on as we start recording our podcast because background music?
Because I've gotten so much crap for the music that I play in my house that I wanted to appease.
Well,
the two
when
ladies.
We were complaining about it, he was playing U2.
Yeah.
So I think we have the authority to complain here.
It was Where the Streets Have No Names.
There are a few good U2 songs.
There's many good
U2
songs.
It's a beautiful
songs.
Day. Oh my
God.
Like that one?
You know what? We have got to stop the singing on Killing Time.
Yes.
That wasn't singing.
What was it?
It really wasn't.
Recounting.
There's so much. I really would love anybody to go back in time and do little clips of all the singing we've done.
Ooh. Yes.
A super cut.
A
super cut of all the.
Yes.
It's usually just me being like, welcome to Killing Time.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
None of us have good voices.
I do. I can rap.
That's not a singing voice.
I have an okay voice.
You do?
You have a soprano voice.
No. Oh, wait. I was going to say, I've never heard you sing, but I have heard you do karaoke too many times.
Did.
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay. You did like a Johnny Cash song when I
do sad songs, like Chris Stapleton or like...
Very morose.
The Whiskey and You. Oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot about that karaoke session.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that he did in...
At the Japanese karaoke bar.
Oh, no. That was a different time.
When we sang Eagle Eye Cherry.
Yeah.
Safe Tonight.
We've done karaoke together as a trio a few times, and not once has Billy done a song that was not depressing.
Right.
That's true.
Brought the vibe down to a zero.
Like, honestly, hunches over in a corner and, like, turns into a shell of himself. And just, I'm like, did you just depress yourself with those lyrics?
But then also just isn't, there's no embarrassment. There's no, like, I feel bad for bringing the vibe down so bad. Billy just, like, lives in that moment.
You are so resilient in that way.
And everybody is just kind of standing around awkwardly. Yeah. Watching Billy.
That's exactly what I want people to be like.
Oh my God, it's so bizarre. I can't wait to do it again.
I'm looking forward to that. If we could capture that essence in a bottle,
yes.
I'd like to.
And we will sell it.
We will sell it on our store.
Yes. Yeah, the energy of Billy karaoke.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any housekeeping, Alexis?
I don't think so. Just keep sending us our stories. Mm-hmm. We're on Stitcher now. That's exciting.
Very exciting.
I think that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're on Stitcher as a network, but we're everywhere.
Yes.
So we're a lot of people are asking that. We're not just on Stitcher.
Oh, no.
We are on Apple
Podcasts,
Spotify, Google,
Podbean.
Yes.
Whatever those are.
I believe if you listen, if you put your head into a you know, a sewer, you might be able to hear us.
That's right.
Or a conch shell.
Conch shell. Yes.
Or you might just hear Billy singing to Johnny Cash.
Singing Chris Stapleton, Whiskey and You. Oh, so sadly.
Today. Oh, my God. Get it out of my head. All right, Billy. What? Today is a very culty episode. I can't wait to jump in. So today, Billy, what day is it today?
All right. So the dark day. So today is November 18th and in 1978. This was the day that 909 people died / I would say were murdered.
Murdered.
In total, 918 individuals died in Jonestown. All but two died from cyanide poisoning. We know that they died from a concoction made with grape Flavor Aid.
Yes.
Not Kool-Aid. It's also where the term drink the Kool-Aid came from. And, you know, the poisonings actually followed the murder of a congressman named Leo Ryan, who had come down to investigate what was going on there because a lot of people's family members were saying, our family members are not being treated well down in Guyana, which is where the People's Temple went after San Francisco. He came down. He saw what was going on. He went back to his plane. And then Jim Jones, the leader, sent gunmen, shot everybody there, and then said, everyone's going to come get us. We need to kill ourselves right now.
Yep. And we did do an episode on Jonestown far, far long ago.
Yeah, and we had Jim Jones Jr. as the first degree, mm-hmm. which is Jim Jones's son. So if you are new to listening to our podcast, that is one. I mean, I did that interview, and I was just like, I cannot believe I'm talking to Jim Jones Jr. Right now. I think we underestimated sort of how big that is. I was like petrified just because I'm like, what this person has been through.
Yeah.
Because he at the time was actually not there at Jonestown. He was, I think, in a different city in Guyana trying to set up some other posts.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
He and you know, I think 20-something others were saved by not being there. It really is a harrowing story when you think about it from that perspective.
And we did do that episode. I think it was around like the first year of our podcast. You can go and search when it was. But it was a 3 or 4-parter, I think.
I think 3.
And, you know, we've grown a lot as a podcast since then. But I still do remember that being such an incredible series.
Right.
So go give it a listen. And we're going to be diving deeper into Jonestown later in this episode. But until then, we've got some bitching to do.
That's right.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
All right. Welcome to On the Stand. This is a cult-themed On the Stand, you know, because we're going to be talking a lot about Jonestown. So we each brought an idea, person, place, or thing, whatever, to the table. We're either going to prosecute it or defend it. All cult-themed. I'm going to let Alexis go first.
Okay. I'm going to start mine with an anecdotal story that happened to yours truly. So here in Los Angeles, we have several areas around town that have several buildings dedicated to, owned by, associated with the Church of Scientology.
Yes.
So I happen to go to Kaiser Permanente for many of my medical needs.
By the way, a lot of these buildings that are owned by Scientology, we of course have the big ones that say Scientology, but I think like a huge portion of the buildings in Hollywood especially are owned by Scientology and you would never know.
Right. And they're apartments, but one thing, identifier, the curtains are always drawn tight. And I'm like, how are they doing anything in there with no fucking
blackout
sunlight?
Curtains.
Because it's literally like huge apartment complexes they own with like blackout curtains drawn all the time. And it's part of this like scary sort of mystique about it. And I don't know why they want to do it. Like, I feel like opening your curtains and just looking like a normal apartment. If it's like, hey, Scientologists are in there. People would be like, that seems normal.
Yeah.
But like, hey, Scientologists in there. And it's like, okay, what are they fucking hibernating
like
year round? Yeah, it's a strange move. But that being said, like, so near my doctors and stuff, it's a heavy Scientology area and they hand out like flyers, like come see the Scientology movie, come do a personality test, all these things. So I'm walking around near my hospital / doctor's office and I'm dressed like for work.
Yeah.
And I've got like a collar, blouse on and like a blazer and like black pants. And like someone stopped me who is a Scientologist and was like, hey, and like did like a Scientology wave to me. And I was like, huh. And then I like looked at my clothes and I looked at their clothes and I was like, fuck. And I was like, they dress like I dress.
Yes.
So, and I was distraught by this because I'm not a Scientologist, nor do I want them thinking we're like friends.
Yes.
So what I'm putting on the stand today is cult uniforms.
Okay.
I am prosecuting them. I'm not sure this is like a universal thing. I'm prosecuting them for my own personal thing because I don't want to be mixed up with all that. Not only that, what if you're dressed in like a crimson robe, like a flowing robe, and someone's like, wild, wild country dude. It's like, no, I just want to wear this crimson robe.
I was just feeling in the mood for a crimson robe.
That's,
you know?
Right. That's right.
Classic.
So I am prosecuting uniforms for cults.
Now, I mean, I'm sure you would probably know this better than me, but isn't the point of a uniform, it's to strip the individuality
identity.
And mm-hmm. individuality.
Did identity.
I just say that twice?
Yes. Extra individuality.
Individuality
supersized individuality.
But it's to strip the identity from people so they're all just conform. It's part of probably the manipulation and conformity of a cult.
That's another reason for it. Not mm-hmm. just my personal... self-absorbed anecdote, but yes, that is also, I also think that is wrong.
I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with cults. So yes, that is wrong.
Yes, but I will say that, you know, there are certain cults, or as we call them in my studies, new religious movements, that are beneficial and people need them, but...
Cults?
Yes.
Like what?
You know, sense of belonging and all of that.
Oh,
but,
I thought you meant there's cults that certain people need.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Potentially. But here's the thing. Don't you want to be able to see somebody that's coming a mile away? And if they're all dressed the same, it's just like, all right, you know what? Okay, see, those are those people. That's good.
For example, LuLaRoe. You know, you see one of those coming from a mile away because they're in those ugly fucking leggings. And, you know, I know
LuLaRoe?
LuLaRoe is that MLM that sells the really ugly leggings.
Is that like Lululemon, but it's...
No, it's, Lululemon is great.
The LuLaRoe leggings are like, they're crazy patterns. They're super bright, really fucking ugly, but they're an MLM that got fucking massive, mm-hmm. but then had all of these massive lawsuits against them. There's a documentary on, I think, Amazon Prime called LuLaRich. It's amazing. But... I think it's like a warning sign. You got to know just mm-hmm. in case it's a cult that you don't want to be involved in, which is most.
But it just depends whose side around. That helps the non-cult members, but really fucks the cult members because it does strip a part of their thing away.
Sure, of
and
course.
Fucks me because of the confusion here. I'm going to so listen. If you're listening to this true crime podcast, you probably know a bit about cults. You're already in good shape. You're already probably not going to get sucked in. I mean, it's possible.
No, but you never. A lot of people that get sucked in are intelligent people.
Absolutely.
Listen, this is your warning. Examine your relationships. Like, you know, you have to check in with yourself and check in with your friendships and check in with the people you're around. That being said, like, we have to pick. Are we prosecuting or are we defending? Because I'm prosecuting for, like, the reason you said, Jack. The identity stripping, sort of the toxic aspects of that for the... member of the cult, also for myself.
Okay.
But defending would mean, you know, for all of you who wanted to see a cult member coming a mile away. So what is the more just position to take? I just truly don't know.
It's kind of abstract when you really think about it.
It is. Yeah. So
I'm prosecuting them because they look goofy.
You know what? I'm saying not guilty. Wear what you want to wear. If you want to wear... something,
but they don't wear what they want to wear. They wear what their cult leader wants to wear.
Yeah, but yeah,
wants them to wear.
I mean, I guess you gotta just hope that you're in a cult that has a cool uniform, like the Source Family. Those were great.
We did an episode on that too, friends. Mm-hmm. All white robes.
I mean, it was a great costumes, really.
All right, so you guys are.
I'm saying not guilty. Yeah.
Not guilty.
Yeah.
I'll say not guilty.
Yeah. Fuck, you guys aren't even thinking about this. You guys are just well, Billy said not guilty.
I said my piece, but it
and
was too abstract.
You are condemning conformists, and yet here you two are. On to the next. Not guilty?
All right. I'm going to go next.
All right, go ahead, Billy.
All right, so one of the things...
Cult leader over here.
Yes.
Throwing his... I'm going next.
Yes. One of the things that we... especially when it comes to Jonestown, is when, you know, that phrase, and we talked about it in the beginning with the Dark Day, of drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And then there's always someone, particularly as true crime has gotten bigger and bigger. And listen, I was guilty of this very early on because I'm a true crime OG from like 25 years ago. I would have been like, it wasn't Kool-Aid.
It was Flavor Aid.
It was Flavor Aid.
Yeah.
Now we need to stop that.
Okay.
Why?
So I'm putting that on the stand.
What are you
because
putting?
Putting on the stand the sort of idea of
one-upping people.
One-upping people, but also one-upping people in true crime in a sense where it's just like, does it really matter if it was Kool-Aid or Flavor Aid? And the knowledge of true crime minutia in order to mansplain or potentially female-splain, but mansplain there, something
female-splain
in true crime.
Female-splain isn't a thing.
It's not?
No.
It's weird because you do it all
it's
the time.
It's weird because
me.
That's it's mansplaining is a sexist sort of. It's not. It's
what
not
do you call
thing.
It when you
doesn't
correct
go both
me
ways? And,
doesn't go both ways.
What do you call it when you do the thing to me? When
me be like, me doing you a favor so you don't sound stupid.
Okay, so not that Alexis's idea was abstract as it is. Now Billy has even more of an abstract.
Okay,
idea.
I want to say something. You said that like, does it really matter? Flavor Aid. Or Kool-Aid. And I am going to say it probably matters to one.
To Kool-Aid.
No. To someone even more important. Flavor Flav. Like Flavor Flav wants people to know it was Flavor Aid. Because he wants an endorsement.
No. Listen, I think
I think it matters to Kool-Aid. Okay, so this, it makes me go back to my OG cult that I was obsessed with as a kid, Heaven's Gate. And it makes me think about the Nikes and how bad of a PR mess it was for Nike the day after the Heaven's Gate mass murder happened. But the same thing for Kool-Aid. Like, they got such a bad rap, and it wasn't even Kool-Aid.
Yes, but let's remember about Nike. What is Nike's slogan?
Just do it.
Yeah,
where does that
bad.
Come from?
The Heaven's Gate cult?
No. Oh. It comes from, I forgot the guy's
name. I was like, that's so bad.
I forgot the guy's name, but he was a serial killer. And
what?
A serial killer was getting, I believe he was electrocuted. And they said, do you have any final words? And he just said, let's do it.
And that's where Nike got their slogan from? I doubt it.
And Dan Whedon, who is from Whedon Kennedy, which is the company... the ad company that created it, saw that and said, I like that. I like the idea of do it, just do it. And that's where it came from.
I am shocked. I'm going to have to look that up. And
that was going to be my next. That was going to be my
I
next.
I hope you're right about that.
That was going to be my next TikTok video. But, you know, I'm too.
You're so huge on TikTok.
I don't know what to do on TikTok. I need a fucking employee to help me with TikTok.
Okay, anyways, Nike has a dark ties.
Oh, yes.
Allegedly.
Wait, yes.
That I never knew about until just this moment.
Totally.
That I'm gonna have to confirm this.
Yeah.
For the next part of this podcast.
Sure.
But so you're on the stand is one-upping people in the true crime world.
Yes.
Okay.
Just let it be.
This is the thing. I think the Kool-Aid versus Flavor Aid thing is it's one of those first nuggets that probably anybody learns when they're trying to start researching anything in true crime that they think is super interesting that they can throw out of the conversation.
I think it is one of those things that just like, oh, it wasn't that, it was that. I'm going to use that at a party and I'm going to wait. It's going to be cock locked and loaded and I'm going to fucking
lay it
on there.
I have a bigger problem with it was Flavor Aid. I'd be like, they didn't drink the Kool-Aid. They were forced to drink the Kool-Aid, and it wasn't Kool-Aid. It was Flavor Aid. I mean, like, I think defending the integrity of the victims is more important.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was also, why don't we correct people instead and say it was fucking murder and they didn't drink the Kool-Aid?
You know what, Alexis? For the first time in our careers, you were being more righteous than me, and I appreciate
it. You're welcome. All right.
Okay, so... Guilty.
Not guilty. Guilty?
Guilty.
I have to... Hold on. Sorry. It's like a rhetorical... Ladies,
one-upping people in the true crime world. Guilty.
Ladies, put on your uniforms and just say it's guilty. Okay?
No, not guilty. I one-up people all the time and I have to continue to do it.
Ugh.
Oh, not one-up. I just like to know that... You like to be right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I will round this out.
Yes.
So I'm sure everybody knows Jim Jones, one of his... things was he always wore sunglasses. We're gonna get to it later, the reasoning why, but always. I don't even know if there is any pictures with him without sunglasses on.
He probably had dead hollow eyes anyway.
Dead hollow eyes. So I'm putting on the stand the idea of wearing sunglasses in a social interaction.
Ugh.
Because sunglasses. And of course, for Jim Jones, the reasoning for wearing them is to block out your eyes so nobody can see what's going on back there.
Hater blockers.
Hater blockers. And when you're in a conversation with somebody in the day, especially if you're in the shade and you don't need the sunglasses, you cannot see somebody's eyes. You can't see if they're looking at you. You can't even see if they're alive or not.
You know, in the cartoons when they make the eyes really narrow, like the evil guy in The Simpsons who do it, Mr. Yeah.
Burns.
Mr. Burns. Yeah. Like, it's like, I need to know if you're making those narrow eyes. Like, I need to know if you're processing or conniving.
You just need to know how somebody's reacting to you. And if you can't see their eyes, what are you going to base it on, their nose?
And you know what? What if you're fucking crying? And I don't know. Like, you could be welling up with tears. And that's like, I'm like, oh, I'm hitting a nerve. Like, I need to know that.
Or what if you're like another Simpsons reference, like when Homer would like go to sleep and then he'd put on like the open eye glasses to make it look like he was awake still. Like, how am I know? Like, did you fall asleep at this table?
Honestly, are you winking at me? Like, is this foreplay? Like, what if I'm yes. what if I'm like, hey, what if I'm at a business meeting, this person's been winking at me behind his glasses. I touch his hand to ask if he wants something and he takes it as a green light.
Yes.
I'm like, but you've been making sexy eyes at me yes. through your black glasses and I have no idea.
Communication starts with the eyes, you know?
Honestly, and it's a window into the soul, and I need as much information as possible.
I think we should ban sunglasses unless you're by yourself in the direct sunlight.
I agree.
Driving's important, especially around 5 o'clock when you could like almost get an accident because of the sunlight.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. The beach. So, guilty.
A guilty.
Guilty.
Wow. Mine was so concise.
It was nice.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to dive into some Jonestown facts.
Jones in for Jonestown.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
So hello, everyone. Welcome to True Crime.
I love how Billy has to say hello, everyone.
Well, I know. Why it's not? So nice.
Like, we're coming off of an ad, hopefully.
Maybe. Yes. Maybe not.
But we are going over the Jim Jones cult, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. Go back and listen to our Jim Jones, Jonestown series. Really, it was a three-part episode. But we wanted to give you a little bit more insight into Jim Jones. Now,
wait, before we do this, I did look up the Nike thing.
Oh.
So I wanted to tell everybody.
I'd like that.
That Billy was fucking right. And this is, do you want to know the history behind the Nike slogan?
Okay.
Very interesting.
I hate that you started with Billy's right.
I know.
But here we go.
I know. So it said that Nike's Just Do It slogan is based on a murderer's last words.
Ugh, when
the idea,
right,
but Billy was a little bit wrong because the idea behind the slogan came from a convict facing a firing squad, which is crazy.
Okay.
In 1988, Dan Wyden, who's the guy that like was supposed to come up with the Nike slogan, he was struggling to come up with a line that would go viral. The night before he was supposed to pitch in the final line, he got really concerned about it and therefore stayed up the whole night to think it over. He wrote down five final lines and narrowed it down, but the way that he found it is there was this guy that had murdered some people and he was standing in front of the firing squad and they asked him if he had any final thoughts. He just said, "Let's do it." Mm-hmm. Weiner said he didn't like "Let's do it," so he just changed it to "Just do it."
That's right.
So there you go.
Oh, makes me want to get into advertising. Like, I feel amped on that.
I can't believe I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting fact.
If only Billy had got it right, you wouldn't have had to look it up.
He almost got it right. I mean, I also didn't believe him. That's why I looked it up.
I'm just kidding, Billy. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I do think this is so funny.
Also, firing squad.
Yeah.
Well, I think a few states still have a firing squad as an option.
That is so insane
and
archaic.
Totally.
I can't believe that's even thing.
I think we'll probably talk about that at some point on this podcast.
What we would want. Oh, sorry, you guys carry on. I'll update you shortly.
We'll go for it. Yes. Yeah. All right. So,
okay, back to Jonestown.
So Jim Jones actually thought that out of all the people on Earth, he was the only heterosexual.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about this because during like all of his preachings and stuff, he would constantly talk about sex, constantly, all the time. It was popping up all the time. And he thought, like he said, that he was the only heterosexual person on Earth. However, he was having sex with everybody, men, women.
I mean, somebody tweeted this
you're
out.
You're hella
once.
Bi if you're doing that.
Somebody tweeted this out once. I don't know who it was.
But it was just like, no.
But they said that, like,
then who?
Once in every cult, the leader always said, "God talked to me and said, I need to have sex with your wives."
Oh, yeah.
And it happens over and over and over again because this guy was doing the same stuff.
Well, he was saying something like, the only way for you to get close to the scripture or whatever I'm preaching or whatever is to have sex with me.
Yeah.
If not, like if you're having sex with your partner, then you're not going to be able to like be a part of the vibe.
Right.
So.
And we need to be a part of that vibe if we're in that cult.
You have to be part of the vibe.
And he even told, so in his sermons, which were often 6 hours long, he would talk about sex.
Real quick. Imagine like the jealousy. Like he knows how to play off jealousy and like people feeling left out. And like women, even if they're married to other people, if it's like this cult leader's attention, like he knew how to make people desperate for him, for his attention, for his approval, for his validation. Like it's such a textbook fucking tactic.
Well, that's how every cult leader is, right?
Yeah. Even though they're fugly. Fuggos with sunglasses during conversations.
And insecure.
Yeah.
Losers.
Loser.
And even the ones that he did not have sex with, he would say that, like, while your husband is having sex with you, it's really me that's having sex with you.
Sickening, dude.
And then
what are you, a ghost? You're getting ghost dicked by me. Okay.
He also had a schedule.
Think of me. You know, nobody's fucking thinking of you, Jim Jones. Everybody's thinking of Brad Pitt, and that's it.
Well, back then it would be Burt Reynolds, probably.
Hell yeah.
Do you guys?
That mustache.
That's a thing. Like, people actually think of other people.
No, I can't. We'll talk about this later.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I think about Burt Reynolds.
That tracks.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds was hot.
Hot.
Yes. All right. So he also loved pharmaceutical drugs.
Well, wait. We need to go back to the sex thing.
What a contemporary man, because this is a very modern day problem.
Yes. No, back to, he had like a secretary that would keep track of all of his sex. And he called it his fuck schedule.
No. He used that word?
He literally called it his fuck schedule back in the day. I'm like, again, very modern.
What did he say? Thirsty? She's thirsty too?
He's on the dating app?
That ties into this flavor aid shit for sure.
He was a sick little fuck.
I hate him.
All right. So his autopsy actually found levels of phenobarbital.
Phenobarbital.
It says Pinot here, so
it's phenobarbital.
I'm sure it's probably pheno.
Phenobarbital is used to treat things like seizures. Mm-hmm.
An amphetamine, though, wasn't it?
I think it was maybe a steroid.
A sedative?
I actually don't want to say. I know it's phenobarbital, and it's used to treat steroids.
No, phenobarbital was to reduce sleep and help it, or reduce stress and help him sleep. So that was a downer. But that was because he was taking so many amphetamines and uppers that he had problems sleeping.
Sure.
All right, so he also had a pet monkey, a pet
chimpanzee. Well, wait, we need to go. You're jumping ahead too much, Billy.
I've got to go. How can I not go to Mr. Muggs? Mr.
But
Muggs.
We have to talk about the pharmaceutical drugs, because this is why he was wearing sunglasses, because he was so fucked up on drugs all the time.
His pupils were, like, dilated at all
and
times.
And he was probably just blinking all the time. His eyes were probably twitching. So dry, twitching. Like
bloodshot.
You know when you see somebody that's fucked up on coke, and you're like, this person's has fucking shifty-ass eyes.
And their breath is terrible.
Terrible breath. I'm sure Jim Jones' breath was disgusting.
Jaw fucking moving all over the place.
Grinding his teeth.
Truly awful. Telling me about the business they want to start with me. I'm like, I'm good, actually. I'm cool, but thanks.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait to start that business with you. See you feel when you wake up.
I love that this is from a specific moment in your life.
Well, they always do that. It's like, what an idea. Like, let's start a website. I'm like, it's 3 a.m. Go to fucking sleep.
And you were grinding your teeth so much.
Yeah, are you okay?
So many cigarettes smoked in the past 10 minutes. Okay, now we're going to go to Mr. Muggs.
Yes, Mr. Muggs was a chimpanzee. Now, apparently, Jones sold pet monkeys door to door when he was in Indiana.
Yeah, dark. when he was like falling on tough times, he was a monkey salesman.
Weird. Yeah, so Mr. Muggs actually was shot to death in Jonestown.
That is awful.
They couldn't have even left the monkey like run wild.
Yeah, let him go
into the
live.
Jungle where they live.
They're literally in a jungle. Yeah.
That is so sad. I mean, all of it's
disgusting,
horrible.
Now, Jones also, as a kid, murdered cats.
Yeah, his whole thing when he was like a kid is he loved to torture animals and stuff, and then would hold these funerals for all of the kids around him, and he was like loved to celebrate the death.
Like a sermon.
Yes, that was like the beginning of his
public speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a red flag. So
not at all.
He actually didn't drink the Kool-Aid or the Flavor-Aid. He actually died from a gunshot wound to the head.
And they still don't know if he shot himself or somebody else did.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, how did you not figure that
out? He did it. He's too narcissistic to let someone else shoot him.
And he probably wanted to be the last person to die, I'm assuming.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and if you listen to the, it's so haunting, the audio of
God.
It's so
it's
haunting.
We included really it in our episode.
Yeah, it's so haunting. And also, there was only one person that ever stood trial for the Jonestown Massacre.
Which is crazy.
Yes, there was a guy named Larry John Layton. And he was convicted of conspiring to kill the U.S. congressman and the diplomat. in the ambush that happened before
yeah.
the Leah Ryan. Yes, exactly. So, and there was a lot of other things that happened after that. You know, when you have people that have joined the an organization or a cult like this, you're going to have some weird stuff that's going on. A lot of murders, a lot of suicides, a lot of things that...
Abuse,
obviously. Sexual abuse. Yes.
Well, there was a lot of just like mysterious deaths even before, obviously, the Jonestown Massacre.
Because you literally just get rid of someone. You're like, especially in Guyana, you know, it's like the U.S. isn't going to come investigate if they died by natural causes and some... No. Who knows?
No, they did come to investigate and they shot him.
They did they did about the totality of the fucked up stuff. But if it was like, hey, this seems like a natural death here mm-hmm. with this... I don't think they investigated every single thing that happened.
No. Well, and also like back in before they went to Guyana when he was just preaching and doing all this other bullshit, he was one of those like quintessential religious scammers. Like, you know, he would do the thing where he'd get like chicken gizzards and he'd be like, oh, you have a cancerous tumor. I'm going to take it out of you.
Do that
and
he'd
have the thing. Yeah. In the hand. Uh-huh, and then he'd be like, pull it out of him. And then his, he did this thing with his secretary where she would like roll in a wheelchair and then he would heal her. And then all of a sudden she would just start running out of the wheelchair. Like, he was just like a quintessential scam artist, con guy.
Not stupid.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I was reading that he would do to people is anybody that would doubt him, like say he was at one of these sermons and there'd be people that doubted him, they would have people like drug these people that they would just pass out and he'd be like, see, that's what happens.
Didn't he also stage his attempted assassination?
I don't know.
I think, or am I thinking about a different cult leader? Like, I feel like he maybe did that so that people would be like, oh my God, he survived.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. He would stage all of these people like defacing their like building or, you know, sending them mail and like all this kind of shit. Crazy. He was just creating this whole world for himself. Yeah. It's so fucking crazy. What a piece of shit.
What a piece
of shit. True nightmare.
So now we're going to hear about the worst things that you people have done. And I hope they're not as bad as what Jim Jones did.
You guys aren't pieces of shit, no, I don't think.
We love you.
Well, first of all.
But you're bad.
Firsty worsty coming up.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truth Finder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all. Firsty worsties, we're fucking here for you and here for this. So before we get into the firsty worsties experiences for this week, we want to remind you of the phone number to call. If you know you did a bad thing and you want to confess it, this is the time, this is the confessional, this is the space. I will make you feel better. It's not worse than something that I've done. That's for fucking sure. The phone number is 323-539-3516. I assure you, I'll always have your back. That being said, let's get into numero uno.
Let's jump right in.
Worst thing I've ever done. This is a veterans tribute. So 1986, I joined the military, the U.S. Air Force, and I was in basic training. And it's just like the movie, you know, with the TI yelling at you, you know, and all that. And but they also what they also do is they make certain guys in the squad kind of like snitches, or you know, they'll keep them in charge of you. And the guy that was in charge of me was a real you know, just a total dick. So every day when the whole squad would go on a testing or something, somebody would always stay behind and guard the barracks. So the one time that I was staying behind, I had went to this guy's locker, and I thought I was going to sabotage, you know, undo some buttons, you know, mess up some of his shirts that are folded up and stuff like that. And so when the next inspection came, sure enough, you know, the TIs were doing the inspection, and they realized that not only was, you know, they came to the conclusion that this wasn't a mistake, but that somebody had sabotaged the guy's locker. So when we're in formation, you know, they're yelling, and they knew that the guy wasn't well-liked anyway, so they were trying to get down to who could have done it. And fortunately for me, they picked another guy, and they shipped him, you know, he had to restart basic, which is like 3 weeks. He had to go back, wash him out for 3 weeks, so I felt really bad, but, you know, in the end, it wasn't me, so that's the worst. I feel so bad. Yeah. Thanks.
Honestly, those last words you said, I feel so bad, like, aww, that resonates. I feel that kind of guilt when I do anything wrong. That being said, like, thank you for your service, I can't even imagine the difficulty of various aspects of military service. And I think you give some very valuable context in that, like, I'm going to mess up some buttons on his shirt. I'm going to, like, it's so innocent, but I know it's innocent. A big deal there. You know, yeah. It's like your shit has to be perfect. They're teaching very regimented. They're enforcing it. So, like, the act itself is not bad. But I know in that context where it's like, oh, no, I fucked up his locker. Even though you didn't deface anything. You, like,
no, you just rustled his clothes.
And I love that you're like, I feel so bad. That being said.
No, he feels so bad because the other guy got the.
I was getting there. Listen, your friend, well, sorry, not your friend. This person who took the rap for your rustling of clothes, 3 weeks is a blip in the span of a life. And honestly, it's character building to do boot camp twice.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No.
That's right.
You know, the whole time I was thinking about this, I'm like, is this how it feels like when you have a two and then you blame it on somebody else?
That's never happened to me.
No, because Alexis does not.
For everybody else in this world, except for Alexis, that has ever had a two, no, blamed it on somebody else?
No, it's not that. This is...
Kind of is.
Oh, my God. Having to do basic all over again?
He was probably shredded.
Rough.
That sucks.
Oh, because you've been to basic?
No, but I would never want to be to basic. That's a thing.
Well, listen.
But doing it twice?
But here's the thing. He never expected it to get blamed on someone else. Like, how do they even... This is my question for you. And if you want to call us back, I wouldn't be mad. How did they even deduce that it was this other person?
Yeah, I need to know more. Like,
how did that person get blamed? Like, you know, what evidence did they have? What kind of sort of witch hunt was this where it was like, it was that guy for it, what?
And who knows? Maybe he had a different sergeant. Like, and it really ended up making it was beneficial for his life because he didn't have to go back to this asshole guy. And also, what does being an asshole dick, like, how does that... It's not making anybody's life better.
No. And apparently it's like you obviously this guy was a dick. So there were guys who were fair.
Yes.
Fair. You know, I think fair is something we can all strive for. It's like you don't have to be a people pleaser, nice person. But fair is not being a dick and fair is not being a pushover. Like there is a balance. And I think this is sort of a moral. Like you don't have to throw your weight around to feel above anyone or have power. It's just like fair, people respect so much more. That being said, you should forgive yourself. I'm sure this dude who did boot camp twice is way fucking over it. This was 86. And you know what? He probably made something positive of it.
Big oops.
That being said, we support you. And again, thank you for your service.
So here's my story. This happened in the 70s. I went to school in a really small town. There was a girl that I went all the way through school with, first grade, graduated, and her parents were teachers, so she got away with murder. She bullied people, she got things she didn't deserve. She was bad at sports, she got everything, sports, cheerleading, and, I just couldn't stand her, you know, to talk to her, you know, if you had to. diarrhea of the mouth. You couldn't get her to shut up. You learned all sorts of stuff you didn't want to know about her. And I just kind of had enough. We had a junior-senior picnic in our tiny town, and just only juniors and seniors would come. And I knew that this girl, she was real thin, and she could eat anything and everything, all sorts of sugar and stuff. I had to watch my weight all the time. So I had my mom bake a sheet cake, a chocolate one, with really thick frosting, except for one corner. I found a secret ingredient that I wanted to put on there, and it was a box of X-Lax chocolate. So I melted it, and I put it on the corner, and I proceeded to take the cake to the junior-senior picnic. And I knew that she would make a pig of herself, so I cut out this nice big piece that I made just for her. And I took it over, and I said, oh, I know you would want a piece of this, so here, I'll just give it to you at a time. And she was all excited because she's so much more important than anybody else. So I watched her eat it, and I was kind of really happy with myself. And then we had a track meet the next day, a pretty important one, and she had diarrhea the night before the track meet. And then the whole day of the track meet, she didn't, needless to say, she didn't do very well. But I was really happy. Number one, she couldn't compete and I didn't have to listen to her. But, I was getting ready to leave school and I thought that I, would get back at a few of the people that had not made my life easy. So I don't know if it's the worst thing I've ever done. And looking back, I don't know. I still don't feel bad about it. So there you go. Bye.
Well, what I will say is that this is sort of a benign result in that, like, yes, she was sick for a couple of days. She had diarrhea, really uncomfortable, really unpleasant. That being said, I need to caution everyone who does or is considered doing something like this. Like, you don't know people's medical conditions. Mm. You don't know how their body could react to something like that. And you never, like, what if they also decided to get crazy drunk that day or took a medication they haven't normally taken in it and it meshed poorly and they died and you then were culpable mm-hmm. for their death? Like, this is something that is a risk, and you got very lucky in that, like, nothing more serious happened. I feel like I heard a horror story relating to something like this before. That being said, it is, you were also in high school, and this is a very,
it sounds like it's out of a movie.
Yeah. And it also went fine. Like, she sounds like a bitch.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you got some, like, karmic retribution. That being said, it's like toying with people's medical stuff is always a risk. And in this case, this is sort of like a wholesome prank and it didn't go sideways. So I think you don't even feel bad, so I don't need to absolve you.
No, I love that at the end. She's like, I still don't know feel if bad. This is the worst thing I've ever done. I don't feel bad. So, I mean, thanks for calling.
And you don't need to, because nothing horrible happened. For how terrible of a person you say she is, this is really nothing. It's a blip. She doesn't remember it. But I think, you know, she also doesn't connect that incident with her being a terrible person. So it doesn't teach her anything. So I think it's always best if you can confront something head on. That being said, she didn't mean that much to you to even do that. All I'm saying is, like, what you did wasn't so terrible because the result wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
If she had died, yeah, I mean, it would be terrible. And
then they'd probably be like, what's all this X-Lax doing in her system? Dun, dun, and then they're dun. Like, who had X-Lax? And then who made the cookies?
Yeah. Brownies. Sheet cake. That being said, you feel fine about it. She's fine about it. No harm done.
Don't do it.
But word to the wise, don't put X-Lax in people's shit.
You were also a kid and it was the 70s. So you know what? Absolve yourself hypothetically if you ever feel bad.
You are forgiven.
You don't even care, which is good. I love your confidence, frankly. And I wish it was me.
All right, Alexis. It is that time. And a little birdie told me that I think you have a little cult-themed stanza for us.
Okay, well, I was trying to channel, like, what kind of cult George Costanza would want if he was the cult leader. So here we go. Let me have a beverage real quick. Okay. If George had a cult, what kind of cult might that be? Would his followers dance naked and chant round a Festivus tree? Would they sing little songs making George feel important, subjecting his members to pain that's abhorrent? Demean them with acts of humiliation, force feeding, head shaving, threats of eternal damnation. He'll slowly turn his members into little George clones. He'll be the neurotic, balder, fatter Jim Jones.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Well done.
You like that? You haven't reacted the whole time.
It was well done.
You're looking away. You haven't even looked at me.
He's in disbelief.
Are you taking it in?
I don't want to look at you after that.
He's in disbelief.
Well, it's hard to be in the presence of greatness.
It is.
Bye. Bye.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.